Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm Tom Rainer, and I'm joined by Sam Rainer, and the Rainers are now Rainers on Leadership instead of Rainer on Leadership. And let me just say, before we even get to welcoming our sponsors, you are in for a treat today.
And I'm excited about this episode. This is a true treat.
Yes, it is. And it's an honor, too, because we have one of the best-selling authors, and really not just in terms of sales, but one of the most influential authors in the United States, in the world today, John Eldridge. And John, before we go further and you hear a lot of stuff about sponsorships, we say simply to you, thank you for being here. We're honored, and we look forward to a very vibrant discussion about a critical topic.
Yeah, me too, guys. Really honored to be with you.
So, yes, we are absolutely honored to have John Eldridge here. He's the best-selling author, counselor, and teacher. He's president of Ransom Heart, a ministry devoting to help people discover the heart of God, recover their own hearts and God's love, and learn to live in God's kingdom. He and his wife live near Colorado Springs, Colorado. We're going to be talking about several things, but the real thing that we are looking at and we're excited about is his new book, Get Your Life Back, and we want to focus on that, particularly for those of you who are serving in local church ministry and are just maybe wondering what can happen next because so much is happening. Talk to us about this new book, Get Your Life Back. Let's go through the high level. Why did you write it? And just talk to us about what have we lost our lives to if we have to get it back?
Yeah. So I'm deep in the work of ministry, like your listeners and followers and the folks that you are helping so much. And I think it's people like us that actually are running the hardest in the world. And I burned out. I got fried. I just too much, too fast, too long. And I really needed to step away and make some adjustments in my life that allowed me to just kind of be refreshed and get my life renewed and renewed in Christ. I never planned on writing this book, actually. I needed to do it for myself, and then it began to help others so much. I decided to share it because I know what life is like out there. It's absolutely nuts.
It's particularly nuts for many of the listeners of Rainer on Leadership who are servants to those who serve, and their pastors and their staff persons and their lay leaders. And you know, before we were going live for this recording this podcast, you said you had a real heart for these folks. So the Ransom Heart has a big heart for those who are leading ministry.
Oh, we do. This is the hardest job in the world, local church ministry. I mean it. I actually served on the staff of a local church, and I've been elder in churches. And it you have to be a brilliant communicator, a CEO, you know, a phenomenal servant, a psychologist, a financial analyst, and now you have to be a global news expert. and that, it's just a lot to carry.
Yeah, I do. As a pastor, I get some of those emails. Hey, what do you think about this? And people expect an intelligent answer from their pastor, as they should. But it is a bit of an exercise in being an expert in everything. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. And then Sam, it's the pace of life. What we're kind of living with right now is a perfect storm. We're running hard, always because of good things. It's always good stuff. But now we're so plugged into the world, you've also got the tsunami of news and information coming in. And the storm of all that is there's no room left to care for the soul. Mm-hmm. The follower of Christ, the servant, they are wrung out, dried out. I know I was. All for good reasons, but that's what we've got to turn our attention to. Because if we dry out, we're not going to be able to serve people.
So let's dig into this a little bit, because we have this world of news, this constant cycle of information coming our way. It feels like information overload. Speak a little bit about the spiritual and emotional detriment of social media and this constant news cycle.
Well, part of what I do, I'm a Christian therapist, and so I was very concerned to watch the data and the research coming out. There is a direct correlation now in a great deal of research between the rising levels of anxiety and depression in the United States and in the West, direct correlation to your use of social media.
Really?
Yeah. And so it, you know, the good news is the things that we're talking about today are things that we can actually make some changes about. You know, you don't have to quit your job and you don't have to take a 5-month sabbatical, although that would be wonderful. You know, we are able to make some choices about how plugged in we are so that we can bring down some of that, frankly, the intensity of the input.
We're talking to John Eldridge, best-selling author, and about his new book, Get Your Life Back. You can see the information in the show notes. And just urge all of you listeners to go to this book, get it for yourself, but also get it for those that you serve, because they need it just like you need it, but you definitely need it as well. John, I'm interested in this term benevolent detachment. Talk to us about that meaning. Talk to us why it's necessary.
Okay, thanks, Tom. You went straight to the most important issue today, because caring people right now, people of Christ, people of compassion, people trying to make a difference, we are on empathy overload. There's just too much coming at us. And I'm stunned at the ability of Jesus Christ in the Gospels to walk away from human need and from the drama when he needs to. So, you know, Gospel of Mark, first chapter, Christ heals a few people. Wow, it all blows up. The next morning, Mark says the entire town was at the door, but they can't find Jesus. He's already gone. He's off, it says, to lonely places to pray. Peter and the guys come and find him, and they say, Lord, everyone's looking for you. And I just want to laugh. I'm like, that's my life. That's it. Everyone is looking for you. Everybody wants something. And Jesus says, you know, it's time for us to go. There is a freedom to let go of human need in order to maintain his life with his Father. So benevolent detachment, Tom, what I mean by it is this. It's not cynicism. It's not resignation. However, we do need to detach from the need. We need to let it go. There has to be times in our day where we are able to pause and say, Father, Jesus, I give it to you. That person I just counseled, that family that's in crisis, the financial needs of our mission right now, I can't carry this, God. I've got to let it go. And the more that we can learn this simple practice, the fruit of it is incredible for the soul.
Hmm. So what tips would you give someone for this? So I, you know, particularly the younger generation, although it certainly applies to the older generations as well, there's that constant attachment. What are some practical ways that people can help deal with this?
Well, it's directly tied to our technology, and it's directly tied to our availability to people. And again, people in the middle, and that's actually wrong. Christ wasn't, and we don't have to be compelled by that. So some real simple tips, like do not check your phone first thing in the morning. We are all in the habit. We just grab our phones. The first thing we do, look at your phone, and you're already in the chaos. Like there's the crisis text, there's the urgent email, you know, there's the news report, the latest corona, you know, piece. Don't check your phone first thing in the morning. Like leave it face down on the counter, make yourself a cup of coffee, look out the window, say your prayers, like allow yourself to be a human being again. And then at the end of the day, particularly if you want to sleep well, you know, sleep, there's a lot of sleep struggles in the West right now, and it's because people are too plugged in and too connected. For one thing, you shouldn't be looking at screens. The last thing you do in your day, it really messes up your sleep. So there is a technology-free moment at the end of the day. Stacy and I, you know, it might be 8 p.m., might be 9 p.m., phones go off, laptops get closed, and you just withdraw from the world. You withdraw from the need, and you take a walk, you read a book, you have a conversation with a real human being who's in the room. And these simple things are so healing for the human soul to just pull out and say, I am, because here's the thing, Sam, we teach people how to treat us. And if you respond to every text immediately, you are teaching people that they can get a hold of you anytime they want immediately.
Yeah, and, so and that's something I struggle with as a pastor, because I want people to my people. I want them to feel like that they can reach out to me. And, you know, I desire that because that's part of my calling is, wow, this person is in crisis, or this person is having a very troubling moment in their life. And I want them to be the first phone call. And yes. It's a tough tension I know I struggle with.
Yes. So on the non-crisis texts and phone calls, what I do is I simply let it go to voicemail, or I don't answer the text immediately. And it's teaching them, I'll get back to you, but I'm not on a leash. Now, to the crisis stuff, I will respond immediately with a text or an email that says, I'm so sorry, I hear you, I'll get back to you in 20 minutes. Because even then, I need room to pause and say, Father, how do you want me to handle this? Jesus, come into this difficult phone call or appointment or office visit I'm about to make right now. And we're teaching people that there is a rhythm to ministry, that it is not stomp on the gas pedal 24/7.
John, I'm going to let our pastors particularly have a treat right now. And I'm going to ask them to imagine for a moment that they have the opportunity to sit across from John Eldridge. And they have this opportunity to listen to him and to get some guidance. And I'm going to share with you one of the more common things that we hear at Church Answers. Church Answers is both a live and a digital community. And it's basically where a lot of church leaders, thousands, are being able to contact us and get help in different ways. And one of the most common things we hear goes something like this. And if I'm sitting across from you and I'm a pastor, and I would say something like this, John, we have crises in our church. And at the moment of crisis, everybody wants to hear from me. The telephone rings, the texts start coming in. And it's a crisis in the church. It could be a moral failure of another staff member. It could be something that is just really upsetting the congregation. And I don't want them not to be able to hear from me in many of the ways that Sam is saying. But this is a crisis moment. And yet the crisis is engendering 20, 30 plus phone calls and texts. What do I do when I'm getting that kind of volume in the midst of a crisis? So now I have spoken for thousands of pastors, and now they get to hear from John Eldridge.
Well, I want to tell you, as a therapist, I understand all about that. And I want to say two things to you. I want to say the first thing you do is you pause. You don't answer, you pause, because you want to reset with Christ. It is Christ in us that has the resources, the wisdom, the love for the moment. And so I pause and I say, Christ in me, be my wisdom. Christ in me, guard my tongue. Christ in me, love through me. So you pause. And then the second thing, in the midst of the crisis, the first thing you want to remind people, I will almost always begin with this. I will say, God is with us. God is here. Because as the pastor, leader, shepherd, that is the main thing we need to remind the world, especially right now with the whole corona thing and the fear, and we are the ones to remind people, God is here. God is with us. And then I will bring my counsel or my wisdom or that sort of thing. You know, first pause, and then to remind people of the presence of God, because ultimately that's what everybody's doubting right now. Oh no, you know, somehow we have fallen outside of the care of God, and it's just not true.
That is good.
And what I love about what you've just said, John, is it's a very God-centered approach. One of the things I struggle with as a pastor is thinking that I need to be the hero, or I need to be the yes. one that swoops in. And it's that pause helps us with putting God back into the center of our lives, which is where he absolutely must be. So it's a very simple exercise that you've just given. Anybody can do it, but I don't think enough of us do it. I don't do it enough in my own life.
We feel that it's up to us. And it was our caring hearts that got us all into this work, okay? But one of the most fascinating things I've learned is it is your good heart your caring heart that is going to get you to do things you shouldn't do, come through too much, overgive, overserve. It's not your bad heart. It is your caring, your compassion, your desire to see Christ in people's lives. And so we've got to continue to submit that to the presence of God among us, or we'll just let that lead us straight into burnout. I want to come back to benevolent detachment for a moment, because the prayer that I pray is this. I pause and I say, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I just sit with that for a moment. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. That's 1 Peter 5, right? Cast all your cares upon him. I'll do that a couple times a day, certainly at bedtime. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. And as we practice that, our soul becomes used to, it gets accustomed to truly turning things over to the Lord.
I like that. I like that.
So to our listeners, we're talking about John Eldridge's new book, Get Your Life Back, which is a great title, by the way, because you've tapped into a pain point. Just the title alone is like, I need my life back. So I'm actually looking forward to the release of this book, which is out now. So make sure that you go get it. I need to go get it. I need to read it. This is, John, your books have been very influential in my life. You don't know that. I tell you that now. These ready to implement practices are there in this book. As we're about out of time, tell us a little bit about what's your favorite thing in the book? I like asking authors that. You've written a lot. There's a lot of words there. What's your favorite thing in the book?
Well, the book begins with some very simple steps to get out of the madness each day, like learning the 1 minute pause, learning benevolent detachment, allowing transitional moments between one meeting and another, one phone call and another, just very simple things that you see Christ do. But the book goes deep. And by the time you get down towards the end, my favorite part, Sam, is cultivating union with Christ. That Jesus said, just as I am one with the Father, I want you one with me. And it's more than faith. And it's more than worship. It is cultivating an actual united life, a union with Christ. And everything in this world is assaulting it. The distraction, the chaos, the pace. And as we heal our union with God, we find the strength and the resiliency. I think you can flourish in this hour. I really do. I think we can flourish in the midst of enormous demand, but only through union with Jesus.
We have been honored to hear from John Eldridge. Many of you have read his other books, and many of you know what a contribution that he has made to the world. And even though his book is not specifically for pastors and church leaders, it is inclusive, particularly for pastors and other church leaders. And Get Your Life Back is a book that needs to be in your hands and needs to be read as soon as possible. In fact, as I began to listen to you, I just feel the urgency in so many areas, and many of our listeners need to have an urgency to read this book. John, thank you so much for the time that you've given us, the insight, the wisdom, the godliness that you've given us in these few minutes of Rainer on Leadership. And thank you for writing such a book at such a critical time as this.
Tom and Sam, it's been a delight to talk with you guys. And I'm super grateful for what you are doing for the body of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, John, as well. And thank you, leaders, for being a part of Rainer on Leadership. We always want to thank Southeastern Seminary. Their mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church. We're delighted that we have a degree program with them in partnership, the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. And many of you are already involved in that 37 MA degree. And we are just excited about what God is doing at Southeastern and through this particular program. Really excited about their instrument that they're providing, the Church Future Indicator. It's a free instrument. It helps understand where your church members and you see the church is going. And it just helps everybody get aligned and on the same page. So get that instrument, and it's all free. And you can get it just looking at the show notes and clicking on that right now. Thank you again for joining us today here on Rainer Leadership, a very special one, an interview with John Eldridge. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcasting app is. Give us a rating and review. And join us online at tomrainer.com, which is merging and becoming a part of churchanswers.com. Wherever we are, we'll grow healthy churches together.